Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your promise kept in Christ Jesus. And thank you now for the privilege to come together and to remember and to rejoice and to open our hearts to your presence, the presence of your Holy Spirit this day, who is the Spirit of Christ within us, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, before we get started on today's message, I have an announcement to make. And that is that Mrs. Gaynor and I are expecting a baby. No, it's true. The due date is May 30, 2020. And we were about as excited and surprised and amazed and happy as any two grandparents could be. So, okay, you with me here? Okay. Did I forget to mention that we're excited about the grandbaby who's coming? This would be, did you hear everybody laugh at that, Pastor Ashok? People just kind of laughed. And do you think there might be some doubters here in the room? You know, some people just, huh? Oh, man. I mean, just like, wow, is that the true spirit of Christmas, huh? There it is. I mean, that's how it all started, isn't it? I mean, yes, we're rejoicing that John and Marissa posted yesterday on Facebook, and we're really excited, looking forward to May 30, to know that there is a baby on the way, and we are just so excited, and they're so blessed and so happy. But I just want to kind of invite you to now for a little bit of honesty here, but were there any doubters when I mentioned this? Not a hand in the room. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Anybody laugh? Would be willing to confess that they laughed a little bit? Yes? Okay. So I just want you to know that if you doubted and or laughed, that you're actually in good company. You're in good company if that's the way you responded to that message. In fact, Genesis 17, starting in verse 15, let's go to Genesis 17 and 15, and God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." Let's keep going. "I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her. She shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from..." Does anybody remember Sarai's age at this point? 99. When was the promise first given to Abraham? He was how old? A quarter century early. 20. He was 75. Now, 25 years later, here comes this word of God. And look at verse 17. "Then Abraham fell on his face and" what? "He laughed." He fell on his face. That was wise. Covered his face from God. And he starts laughing there. And he said, "Shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90, not sorry, 90, not 99, but Sarah who's 90, shall she bear a child?" Do you remember Sarah's response? It's in the next chapter, chapter 18. Let's go to Genesis 18. And starting in verse 9, "And they said to him," this was the Lord and a couple of angels, they came to the tent, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." Let's go to verse 10. "And the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him." She wasn't in the conversation. They were out here. She was in the tent door and listening. Let's see what Sarah's response is. Verse 11. "Abraham and Sarah were advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" Next verse. Do you think there might have been some bitterness in the tone of her voice as she said that? All these years they've waited for the promise. "And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?" Why did she do that? Let's go to verse 14. Here it is. Here's the key. "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" There's the question of the season. This is the question of Advent. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." And we keep going. "But Sarah denied it and said, I did not laugh." Oh, this is adding a problem? Yeah. It's like, what was Martin Luther's first rule of prayer? Don't lie to God. There it is. First rule of prayer. Don't lie to God. Sarah goes, I didn't laugh. He said, no, you did laugh. Okay, all right, Lord, you know. Okay, there it is. If you laugh today, you know, you're in good company. Leanne and I are nowhere near the 90 and 100 mark, but it was still laugh-worthy. I'll admit that. I'll agree. Okay. So, but now we're going to fast forward. Did I mention we were in good company? We're going to fast forward approximately 1,800 to 2,000 years, boom, to a priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth at the time Herod was king of Judea. And we go to Luke 1 and starting in verse 11. And there appeared to him, this is Zechariah, who's in the temple serving, and he's there to burn the incense for the evening offering. And he comes, and he says, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. This is significant. To stand on that right side would mean the side of favor. And Zechariah is like, whoa, what is this? He's troubled. He sees this angel, and fear fell upon him. He had never had an experience like this before. Boom, all at once, there. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord staying, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Let's go to the next verse, 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You're going to call his name John. Even though nobody else in the family is named, you're not naming him after anybody, I'm giving you the name John that you will call him. And let's hear a little bit about this John. We keep going, 14. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice in his birth. Yeah, they had waited all these years. They were childless, just like Abraham and Sarah, and they waited and waited. He will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Later in the story, you see that this baby in the womb actually responded to the greeting of Mary. And Elizabeth responded. This is a real story. This is not like, oh, this is just metaphor or made up. No, this is the reality. And of this preborn one in his mother's womb. We keep going to the next verse. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And we'll keep going. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Ah, here's the Elijah message that he will bear. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people who are prepared. This is the announcement that's been given to Zechariah as he stands in the temple from an angel on the right side of the altar. There he stands. And here's Zechariah going, oh, and how will Zechariah respond? Is he going to break out into song? Let's see what he does. Verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? Let's translate it into modern English. How do I know you're telling me the truth? How do I know? I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. She's kind of like in the Sarah situation. He says, no. How do I know you're telling me the truth? Interesting. Here's one. How do I know? Give me a sign. And we look at him and we go, Zechariah, I mean, dude, do you think maybe the sign is an angel standing on the right hand of the altar next to you? Maybe that is the sign. You're wanting something more? He just gave this to you. You have been now, here you are, you've met an angel from the, and he's just like, whoa. And watch the response of this angel. By the way, anybody remember what the angel's name was? Yeah, here it is. Here, and the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. When's the last time we saw Gabriel in the Bible story? Who did he appear to then? Daniel. Almost 600 years earlier. Here's a job description for you. Gabriel, what's your job? To stand in God's presence. To be available. So God gave you a job 600 years ago? Yeah. And you did it? Yeah, I went to Daniel and laid out what the picture would be and that the Messiah, the Prince, would come. I mean, yeah, I did that. I gave that to Daniel, and Messiah the Prince would come, and in the middle of the week he'd be cut off for his people there in Daniel 9. Yes, I did that, says Gabriel. And there he is. He says, So Gabriel, your job is, so after the work with Daniel, where have you been doing my job? Which is, I stand in the presence of God. And you know, his itinerary for work is really busy now because he meets with Zechariah, and 6 months later he's going to meet with Mary, boom, boom, after 600 years, he stands in God's presence. What do we read there from Paul in Ephesians 6? He goes, you know, after we've done all to do what? After we've done everything else, putting on the armor of God and fighting the battle, then what? Stand. To stand. There's Gabriel. And Gabriel says, you know, here's Zechariah going, how do I know you're telling me the truth? And Gabriel, this is a moment where Gabriel just said, don't be afraid. Do you think when he now spoke that Zechariah got scared again? I would have. Boom. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring to you this good news, these glad tidings. And what are you doing? I'm giving you good news. And what are you doing? You're dissing it. You're just going, ah, how do I even know you're telling me the truth? You know, Zechariah, that was dumb. That was dumb, Zechariah. Here's a sign for you. You're going to get dumber. Okay, sorry. Dumb and dumber, there we go. I mean, here's Zechariah. That was dumb, and now you're going to get dumber. In fact, you're not going to speak until the baby is born. What? Yes. Whoa, Zechariah. Hey, by the way, there's something I read years ago that I've held on to over the years because I've had experience of three major illnesses in my life. And I read this piece, and when I read it, it really has stuck with me. It just said, we call it illness. The angels call it stillness. We call it illness. The angels call it stillness. And for Zechariah, he gets to do nine plus months of processing the work of God and that stillness. And by the way, there are many Bible scholars who point out that the word used for dumb in this passage of Luke 1 is actually a word that's a collective word for both deaf and dumb. For both deaf and dumb. Wow. You talk about a period of time for Zechariah. By the way, when he finally, when his lips are open on the day John is born, you read Zechariah's song there, and it is amazing. He lays out in just powerful testimony what it is that God has purposed and planned to do through this John, through this baby. It's amazing. It's powerful, powerful stuff. We call it illness. The angels call it stillness. You say, well, what about Elizabeth? Well, let's look at verse 24. He comes home, and he can write still. But we go to verse 24, and in 24 it says, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, let me go back here and make sure I read this here. Luke 1. And it's Luke 1 and 24. Here we are. It says, after she said, it's verse 25. I'm sorry, guys, I forgot to write 25 down. It says, for 5 months she kept herself hidden and said, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach from among the people. She had said, I felt this sense of it was almost a sense of shame that I'd never become a mother. And she said, here I was, but now God is, and so for her heart is responding. And later in the passage, you'll see that she's the one that greets Mary, and she's the one that gives testimony to Mary. And she says to Mary that blessed is she who believed in the word of the God, and blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb, and the baby leaped in my... Elizabeth is full participant in this. By the way, guys, we don't come off so well in this story. It's the women who are coming off better than us. I just want to point that out, gentlemen. In the Christmas story, Joseph's ready to like go and go, okay, I guess we're going to have to start divorce proceedings here. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that was, the guys are like, ah. But here you have Elizabeth and you have Mary who are responding. Now, let's go to verse 26. In verse 26, we now go and we're going to contrast the response of Mary with the response of Zechariah when the news comes. In the sixth month, and we understand that to be 6 months following the announcement made to Zechariah. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. to a virgin betrothed. And by the way, betrothal was more than engagement. Betrothal was a legal document signed, and the only way to break a betrothal was through an actual legal divorce. So here they're betrothed to each other, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came and said to her, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Here we have the angel come again. But she is greatly troubled at the saying. She tries to discern what sort of greeting this is and what in the world. Here's an angel. Here's a girl that we understand to be somewhere in the teenage years. And she has an angel come and give her this greeting. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb. You'll bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus." Jesus. Do you remember the meaning of the name Jesus? God saves. I love the phrase God to the rescue. The Jesus Christ means the anointed one, which is the word for Messiah. Here's Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, God to the rescue, anointed as Messiah. Wow, what a picture. And he says, you'll call his name Jesus, God to the rescue. And we go to the next verse. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. That last phrase, that is an echo from what book in the Old Testament? Which prophet? Daniel. How many times in Daniel? That kingdom will be of no end. There's the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And that kingdom, the rock is cut out. And that there'll be no end of it. There'll be no end. There'll be no end. And this is the language, this is the words being spoken to this teenage girl in a little dusty, forgotten place called Nazareth. And he's saying that this one will be the one who is Son of the Most High and will actually receive the throne of his father David and reign forever. We continue. Next verse. And Mary said to the angel, here it is, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Oh, so Mary is doubting too. Zechariah doubted, and Zechariah said, "How can I be sure you're telling me the truth?" What is Mary asking that's different here? What's happening here with Mary is that Mary is not expressing doubt. She's actually, let's say it this way. Mary's words are faith seeking understanding. Are you with me? Mary's words are not words of doubt. Zechariah's were. How can I be sure this is true? Over here, with Mary, it's faith. Okay, yes. How can this be since I am a virgin? How would this be possible? She asked the question. She wants to know. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 35, and the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you." Whew, this is a mystery beyond any explanation that we can give except to say we hear it, we read it. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. You notice how I'm doing this with my hand? And I'm remembering back Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Whew, do you see the act of creation? You see what God, this Holy Spirit action in bringing from Genesis 1, isn't it interesting that in John chapter 1, he goes right back to Genesis 1. You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. And this mystery that human language can barely comprehend and barely, it can't encompass it. It can't. All it can do is just point us and say, this is it. All I can tell you is this is what happened. And the child to be born of you will be called Holy, the Son of God. I think I've shared with you before, but I'm going to share this again. But when we moved, my family moved to Silver Spring, Maryland. And I was in my senior year at Columbia Union College there and studying there my senior year. We moved into a new home. My family moved up from Virginia. I had already been at school living in the dorm for 3 years. I moved out of the dorm, moved home with my folks. And there we were. And across the street, we get to know our neighbors. And across the street was a Jewish family. And we got to have a nice friendship together. In fact, I went to synagogue on Friday night and went there and experienced that service together. And so at one point, the young man who was just a little bit younger than me, but he felt safe to ask this question. And he said, we got to know each other a little bit, and I just have a question. I said, well, what's that? He said, my question is this. You don't really believe. You don't really believe that the great God who created the universe became a human being, do you? It was a very sincere question. And my response at that point was, well, yes, I do. How I wish I'd been more biblically astute at the moment, because I would have said, do you have a Hebrew scripture with you right now? Let's turn to Isaiah 9. Remember the prophet Isaiah? Look at Isaiah 9. Look at these words. I wish I would have gone there. For to unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That means the kingdom. And his name shall be called, here they are, four of them, Wonderful Counselor. Now, buckle your seatbelt. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, in the Hebrew Scriptures, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That's blasphemy talk, unless it's true. That's blasphemy to call a human being such an... I wish I had known to say to my friend, look at your Bible. Look at the text. Look what it says. It calls this baby Mighty God, Everlasting Father, a human being. The great God who creates the universe becomes one of us. Whew, what a picture. We go to verse 36, back to Luke 1. Behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age. In her old age has also conceived a son. So what is the angel Gabriel doing? He's helping to encourage Mary. He's saying, Mary, you're asking the question, and how can this be? I just want you to know we do have some evidence here, and the evidence is Elizabeth. You mean Elizabeth? Yes, Elizabeth has just conceived, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. Here it comes. For nothing will be impossible with God. Here it is. It's the message of Advent. It's the message of the season. Nothing. Cero, nada, nothing. Nothing will be impossible with God. Whew. What a picture. What a statement for Mary to hear these words. And then we go to the next verse, 37, 38. And Mary said, here it is. This is verse 38. Here it comes. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary said, yes. The whole danger, that the whole story was resting, teetering on the knife edge of danger. What will she say? Because this God does not force. This God we serve, he does not force. How did Dr. Taylor used to always say it? He's a gentleman. He'll never knock your door down, right? He stands at the door and knocks. He's a gentleman. He'll never knock down your door. He'll never bust in. The whole story teeters on the knife edge of danger until a teenage girl in the town of Nazareth says, yes. It's the yes of faith. And the yes of faith, Mary's yes, get this, Mary's yes changes. It changed and it changes everything. Mary's yes changed everything. And we're going to end with a verse leaping out of Luke into John chapter 2 and hear the last words in Scripture recorded from her mouth of her mature faith as she speaks to a group of servants at a wedding party that has run out of the wine. And what does she say to them? His mother said to the servants, you do whatever he tells you. Mary's yes changed everything. So does yours. Let's stand, lift our voices in praise to this amazing God. Lord God, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being those who have heard with our ears the glad tidings, the good news that God has given his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We're amazed. We're amazed at your way, Lord. We're amazed at the way you did this. And we rejoice, and we thank you, and we praise you. If it's your desire this day to say, to join Mary and to say yes to the call of God in your life, just lift your hand to the Lord and say, I'm saying yes to you, Lord. Yes, use me to be a blessing. Yes, as I say yes to Jesus, may I know eternal life that begins now in his name. May I be a channel of your grace. And may the same Holy Spirit who hovered over Mary, may that Spirit be poured into our hearts, our minds, that we might walk in step with you and be channels of grace where your light shines into this dark world and the darkness never overcomes the light. Is our prayer. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.